You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Locked On Mets is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Like clockwork, the Mets won yet again. 5 in a row, 14 out of their last 16. We'll talk about that game in the first segment today, but then in the final two segments, want to spotlight Francisco Lindor and why he is worth every single penny of that contract. In the second segment, we'll talk a little bit about what he's done this year, and then I want to expand it out in the final segment, talk about what he's meant to the Mets since June 1st of last year. We got a very large sample size where this guy's been a top 10 player in baseball. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing at justbaseball.com, where I work as the managing editor. Today's episode is brought to you by Blue Nile. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com, and going on right now is their Blue Nile Anniversary Sale, where you can save up to 40% on classic fine jewelry pieces and 25% on engagement ring settings. Shop stress-free and find your forever piece by going to BlueNile.com today. So here's this Mets team on another winning streak, 5 in a row, beating up on the Reds like they should. They've now won another series by taking the first two games, and they are set up to potentially get a sweep on Wednesday with Taijuan Walker on the hill. And just to kind of go through what we saw again, this is a team that has one thing that I think is the biggest factor in them not only running away with the NL East, but you know, being a favorite when it comes to the World Series this year, and it always comes back to the starting pitching. You know, what did we talk about coming into the year when it was all the naysayers on a Carlos Carrasco? And I was trying to point out, look at the career numbers. This is a veteran. Give him a chance. And what does he do? Time and again, he wins baseball games. 13 wins on the season. I know wins are a stat that we don't care about anymore. I understand as the game evolves, the win has become less important. That's why when Jacob deGrom wins the Cy Young, with 10 wins in 2018, that was kind of the changing of the guard when it came to the way we think about the pitcher win. There's still certain case-by-case basis where I think it matters, and Carlos Carrasco is one of them. He gives you so many quality efforts. In this game, he keeps the Reds off the board through 6 innings. At that point, the Mets had already scored 4, you know, tries to give him some length, get him through that 7th inning, unable to do that, gives up a hit and then a home run, and then ultimately a couple more hits, which knocks him out of the game. Michael Givens had to bail him out of that spot. A really nice moment for him to get that big out, to strand those inherited runners, and to keep the score at bay before the Mets end up getting those two right back and cruise to the victory. But having Carlos Carrasco pitching like this, Chris Bassett as well, here you go, coming off a series where Scherzer and DeGrom close things out. Your next series, you start off with Bassett and Carrasco, and they both give you gems, and now you got Taijuan Walker. This is the best starting rotation in baseball if Jacob deGrom stays healthy. It might have been already when David Peterson was your 5th starter, and that's how good everyone else was behind Scherzer. But now that each guy gets knocked down a peg and Carrasco is suddenly your 4th starter, you just see that impact and the trickle-down effect that it has. It's a really good team, and it always starts right there with the guy that takes the ball to open up the game for you. Because the Mets have such good starting pitching, I think the bullpen actually ends up benefiting as well. These guys are suddenly going deep into games that allows you to keep an Edwin Diaz fresh, to keep Adam Ottavino fresh. You know, both of them were held out of this one. Trevor May gives you a good inning. I mean, well, I don't know if it was a good inning. You know, he got a scoreless inning, and he had 3 strikeouts, and it was probably a really good inning for him to work through that and kind of grind it out. You know, a couple walks, gave up a base hit. Eduardo Escobar had a couple opportunities on foul balls that could have bailed him out of that inning sooner. But look, he gets the big strikeout to strand 3 runners, no harm, no foul, And I think going forward, that's a good confidence boost for him. He's going to need to stack up a lot of these appearances to have a lot of confidence in himself. So this was a big one. Then Lugo comes in and shuts the door. But offensively, again, this Mets team scores at least six runs. And, you know, they didn't have the most outstanding game. You look up and down the lineup, and yeah, you could have done more against Mike Minor. It was a little shocking that he was pitching in the sixth inning, considering, what was he at, like 70 pitches through three or something crazy like that. But you still had a couple guys that stand out here. Everybody but Pete Alonso and Starling Marte got a hit, and both of them drew walks. So everybody gets on base in this one. Mark Canha in the leadoff spot, one for two, scored two runs. Lindor, though, is the story that we're going to talk about throughout the show today, and he got the Mets on the board early, hitting a two-run homer in the bottom of the third inning. Mark Canha was on for that. He had drawn a walk. Lindor, really good at bat there, you know, falls behind 0-2, you know, sees a ball in the dirt, fouls another one off, sees another one in the dirt, gets himself into a 2-2 count, sees a changeup, waits back on it, is able to golf it out. And what was really interesting to me was as he connected with it, you kind of saw in the highlight when they did a slow-mo, he kind of made a face like, ooh, yeah, I got that, you know? And then when he came into the dugout, you saw a conversation with him and Chavez, the hitting coach, and this is just me reading lips and kind of mannerisms, but it seemed like he was saying that's a pitch he'd been out in front of in past at-bats. He finally waited back on it. I don't know if that's something they were working on, and you see the results. I was actually looking at his Baseball Savant, trying to kind of go through some of the numbers here on Lindor, and they have the run value stat that tells you how a batter fares against each pitch. Last year, the run value for Lindor against the changeup was -2. This year, it was +6, and now, obviously, he just put a run or two runs on the board. I would imagine that's only going to get better after what he just did on that changeup tonight, but you're seeing Lindor look a lot better against off-speed than it did last year. He was good against fastballs this last season, but this season it's even better. And he's just giving you quality at-bats time and again. So that was huge for the Mets. Jeff McNeil hits his seventh home run of the season in the fourth. He then comes through again in the sixth. Darren Ruff had a really big game for the Mets here, getting the start at first base with Alonso at DH. He doubled in that sixth inning. McNeil drives him in with a knock. And then again, he comes through in the following inning. This time it was Ruff who gets the RBI hit. The Mets had Tomas Nito get a base hit. Mark Canha got hit by a pitch. No surprise there. The Mets had another guy hit. There was runners at second and third by the time Pete Alonso came up with two outs. Obviously, they chose to intentionally walk him. That put Ruff at the plate. And once again, we saw that not necessarily a DH tonight, but part of that DH platoon, so to speak, with Ruff and Vogel back. He comes through, gets a hit, drives into the Mets, end up with that 6-2 lead that they ultimately win the game with. But once again, you're seeing so many different combinations that Buck Showalter can go to. Tonight, it was Mark Canha in center giving Nimmo a day off. Jeff McNeil went back out into left. They got Escobar back out in the lineup again, obviously against a left-handed pitcher. Guillorme played. You saw Naquin on the bench for this one, Nimmo on the bench, Vogel back on the bench, all those lefties with the lefty starter on the mound. And this was a completely different lineup than we've seen before. Ruff gives you some positional versatility. They can play him in the outfield. They can start him at first base. Obviously, he'll DH some. But this is just a team, man, that the camaraderie's there, the vibes are there, everyone has a role, and Buck Showalter is just the puppeteer, just figuring out where to put each person, how they should utilize everyone, try to keep everyone involved. It's fun to watch Mets baseball right now. But what I want to do here is talk about Francisco Lindor, because everyone was jumping down his throat last year, and now suddenly you're realizing why the Mets traded for this guy and paid him all that money, because he is still one of the best all-around shortstops in baseball. He's a 5-tool player. And we've seen that this season. Before we get to that, though, did you know that the key to sustainable weight loss is through your liver? The liver is the body's metabolic furnace. It's responsible for flushing out harmful toxins and igniting your fat-burning metabolism. But thanks to modern diets rich in unhealthy processed foods, most of us have overworked livers. Now it's easy to rejuvenate your liver health, though, and reignite your metabolism thanks to the Liver Health Formula by Pure Health Research. Liver Health Formula contains 8 liver-boosting supernutrients like turmeric, beef, and artichoke extract, all of which work together to wake up a sluggish liver and turn it into a toxin-flushing and fat-burning machine. Best of all, Liver Health Formula makes it easier to maintain a healthy body weight long-term. As a listener of our show, you can try the Liver Health Formula risk-free today and get a free bottle of their CurbFit with your order. That is CurbFit, a safe and all-natural appetite suppressant, which makes it easy to say no to those naughty foods that you don't want in your body. This makes it a perfect complement to the Liver Health Formula. If you want to try these today, go to getliverhelp.com/MLB to learn more. Again, that's getliverhelp.com/MLB to try the Liver Health Formula completely risk-free and claim your free bottle of the CurbFit with your order. After his first season in Queens, Mets fans were ready to give up on Francisco Lindor. They saw his stats all together, the .230 average, the .322 on base, .412 slugging. You know, he only had the 20 home runs last year. And they thought, yeah, this guy's not great. He's not a $34.1 million player. And everyone gets so hung up on the money, right? It's like they're paying for him themselves. It's not like Steve Cohen, a multi-billion gazillionaire, is writing this check that means nothing to him. And maybe you should just appreciate the fact that this guy's better than any shortstop the Mets have had, probably in my lifetime outside of Jose Reyes. You know, people forget that Wilmer Flores was starting at shortstop for a team that went to the World Series, that Ruben Tejada got a lot of starts at short, that Asdrubal Cabrera was the shortstop for a while, that Amed Rosario was playing atrocious defense at shortstop. So now you have this legitimate gold glove level shortstop, and because he wasn't elite offensively, people are writing him off. If you remember in the offseason, I compared Lindor to Carlos Beltran. Very similar guys, right? You start off in the AL Central in a small market where you're the superstar that'll never get booed. You get the big contract with the New York team. You come in year one for Beltran in 2005, for Lindor in 2021, and you aren't yourself. You're not the type of 5-tool player you were. Then year two, Beltran was amazing, and now we're seeing Lindor be amazing. I mean, what he has done this year has gone overlooked because he's not the most consistent hitter. He goes through his streaks. He goes through some of those times where he does struggle. But the thing I love about Lindor is even in the struggles, here's a guy that strikes out less than 20% of the time, that walks nearly 10% of the time. That goes a long way because he's giving you good at-bats. And you look at the stats now, after this game, he's up to the 20 home runs, 79 RBIs, third in the National League behind Pete Alonso and Paul Goldschmidt. He has 11 stolen bases. His WRC+, which again measures hitters based on a league average of 100, is 131. Now, you look at his career year in 2018, 132 WRC+. Based on that all-encompassing offensive metric, this is the second-best season of Lindor's career, and he's doing it all in the blue and orange. So to see him do this, to see how impactful he has been, you know, I was talking about Pete Alonso in yesterday's show, and actually for Just Baseball this week, we're going through and trying to find the best duos in baseball. Who is the best 1-2 punch? Now, I just mentioned Paul Goldschmidt when it came to RBIs. Goldschmidt and Arenado are probably going to take the cake here. I'm still going through my list and my research, so I haven't quite decided, but that's where I'm leaning. Lindor and Alonso are potentially in the top five, though, as I go through this exercise. They've been really good. They've been great in the clutch. They've played every single game but one. Each of them missed a single game, and to have their consistency in the lineup in the 3-4 spot, it's just massive. It's very similar to the 86 Mets when you had, you know, Gary Carter and Keith Hernandez. You know, there's a couple of Garys that Keith is linked to, right? When you had those guys, when you had, you know, if it was Wright and Beltran or Beltran and Delgado, whatever mix you want to talk about during those years, to see that impact when you have it right, when you have a really solid number three hitter and just a great cleanup hitter that's getting all those RBIs, It just changes the complexion of your ball club. And you have this guy, Lindor, who gets on base at nearly a 350 clip this year, 345 on base percentage. He's driving in runs. He's scoring runs. He's stealing bases. And he's playing great defense as well. He's now up into the 97th percentile in outs above average, which is a great stat that measures hitters based on their range and the plays that they make. He is doing an incredible job there. And you look around baseball right now, you know who's in the top 10 in F4, which is, of course, Fangraphs wins above replacement? It's not Pete Alonso. It's Francisco Lindor. According to that metric, which is supposed to tell us who the best players in baseball are, he's been the 8th best player this year. He's tied with Manny Machado and Mookie Betts. He's ahead of guys like Rafael Devers and Austin Riley. That's due to the glove. He's been better this year than Trey Turner based on that metric. Turner, a better offensive player, but about a league average shortstop, where Lindor is elite. He is right behind Dansby Swanson when it comes to F4, and he's been narrowing that gap. When I actually did a podcast this week for Just Baseball, we have our State of the Division, where on Tuesdays now, me and Aram Layton talk about the National League East. We just had a big debate today going through who had the better duo. Was it Swanson and Riley or Lindor and Alonso? And the conclusion we came to is right now they're close to a dead heat. He believes that Riley will pull away and be better than Alonso down the stretch. I kind of believe that Lindor is going to pull away from Swanson. And our conclusion was whoever pulls away a little bit more, that will ultimately be the better duo. I just think that what this guy has done for this team coming off the bad year has been incredible. He has been worth every single penny. And moving forward, this is why you make this type of a trade, because his impact is that immense. I want to spend a little more time on Lindor, though, in the next segment here. I want to go a little bit further back. We're going to look at his numbers since June 1st of 2021, see how they stack up, because now we're talking about a really big representative sample of what this guy can be for the Mets. And luckily, not unfortunately, now extremely luckily, you have him for 9 more years. Extremely luckily, that sounded weird, but regardless, 9 more years of Lindor is something that Mets fans should be rejoicing about, as opposed to that narrative we saw in the offseason where fans had buyer's remorse for a guy that has so much talent. Before we get to that, though, whether you're ready to pop the question or if you're celebrating a milestone moment, find jewelry as unique as her with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. There you can build the engagement ring of her dreams, as Blue Nile has simple online tools that let you choose the diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as the setting style. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft her perfect engagement ring. Each ring is one of a kind, so you can celebrate life's special moments with fine jewelry from Blue Nile, and they have jewelry experts on hand 24/7, available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com, and going on now is the Blue Nile Anniversary Sale, where Locked On Mets listeners can save up to 40% on classic fine jewelry pieces and 25% on engagement ring settings. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace by going to BlueNile.com today. All right, so since June 1st, 2021, Francisco Lindor has played 188 games for the New York Mets, more than a full season. That's 805 plate appearances. During that span, he's hit 35 home runs, he's scored 121 runs, 129 RBIs, 17 stolen bases. You look at the walk percentage, 10.1%. Strikeout percentage, 19.9%. You look at the slash line, a 261 hitter, 343 on base, 467 slugging. Mentioned WRC plus. He's been 27% better than your league average hitter with a 127 WRC plus. The offense has been good. The defense has been good. He's got an 8.2 F4 that is tied with Bryce Harper for the 7th best mark in baseball. He's behind Aaron Judge, Paul Goldschmidt, Jose Ramirez, Trey Turner, Juan Soto, and Freddie Freeman. Clearly, he's still a top 10 player in baseball with his impact. And top 10 players in baseball get $34.1 million a year. You look at what he does as a shortstop, and You could talk about his entire career. He has been the leader in F4 for shortstops. That is what he has done. That is why the Mets paid him. That's why he commanded top dollar, because he had been the top shortstop in baseball for such a long time. Right now, you look at what he's done since June 1st. He's behind only Trey Turner. 9.2 F4 for Turner, 8.2 for Lindor. Swanson at 7.5 is thrown on the list. And you got Bogarts, Seager, and actually surprisingly, Nicky Lopez. All defense for Nicky Lopez before you get to Carlos Correa. But that's how good he's been. And guess what? He's actually played, what is that, 16 less or 18 games less than a Trey Turner, which could be enough time for him to have a similar F4 if he were to catch up in games play. If you were to break it down by each game, I think they're probably pretty damn close to each other. He's been amazing. And the fact that you have him on this team moving forward is so impactful. I know there's some that'll say, you know, what you're paying him. And maybe there's others we'll look at. Andres Jimenez, who's had an amazing season out in Cleveland. Great for him. But there's some fans out there that might say, hey, we could have had Jimenez as a starting shortstop. You have no idea the impact this guy has in the clubhouse and just his presence in the lineup every day. To have a shortstop that is out there making every play, the routine plays, the difficult plays, turning double play. The defense is something that people never appreciate nearly enough. And I know he started off rocky. The throws weren't great. He had to get his legs under him into the season. Then we saw those throws get better. But that is something that is tangible to me, is the defensive impact. The one thing that kind of removes luck in baseball is defense. You know, as a pitcher, you have to deal with the calls the umpire is going to give you. That's going to set up the counts that you're in. And then, you know, you can pitch into bad luck. Guys can get blue pits. Guys can, get on base with their legs, or they can find just that one little gap in your defense and they can snake one through. When it comes to hitting, you can hit into bad luck, but you really defend into bad luck, if that makes sense. If you put out competent fielders, generally that's going to net positive results, and that's going to lead to winning baseball. We are seeing that with this Mets team. That's why you see a Louis Guillorme prioritized. That's why Dom Smith and J.D. Davis did not play a single inning in the outfield this year. Did Dom get out there? I don't believe he did. That is why you see them prioritize Tyler Naquin and the defense that they got by signing a Starling Marte. This has been a team that focuses on defense, and there is one player at the center of everything, the best defender on the Mets, Francisco Lindor, playing that premium position. So you have him out there anchoring everything, and then offensively what he's giving you is just absolute gravy. This is going to be the best shortstop in franchise history. It is. Jose Reyes, truthers, I appreciate it, right? I was a kid when Jose Reyes was flying around the bases for those triples, and he was electric, absolutely electric. Then he would draw a balk, and you'd be like, man, this guy just literally manufactured a run himself. So much fun to watch a young Jose Reyes in his prime. He's not Francisco Lindor. And actually, that's an interesting conversation. Let me just quickly pull up Jose Reyes and look at his career with the Mets. Did he ever have a season nearly as good as what Lindor is about to do? So, 3-year run for Reyes, 2006 to 2008, where he had an F4 over 5. 5.7 in 06, 5.6 in 07, 5.8 in 2008. Had a couple of down years. And then in 2011, before he ends up going to the Marlins, a 5.8 F4, the year where he unceremoniously laid down a bunt to win a batting title and pulled himself from a game. Lindor, this year, with that 4.7 F4, is trending towards a better season than Jose Reyes ever had. If he finishes with a 6 F4, that's something Reyes did not ever do. And in his best season, Francisco Lindor had a 7.8 F4. Don't know if he gets there this year. That would be a steep ask. But could he, overpass his second and third best seasons, 2017, 6.1 F4, 2019, 5.8? I absolutely think he can. So, again, getting back to the title of this episode, this guy's worth every penny, because without him, the Mets are not sitting in this position right now where they are cruising in the National League East. And before I close out the show, when I started recording, it was a tie game, Boston Red Sox Braves. Unfortunately, in the 11th inning, the Atlanta Braves pulled ahead, got a victory, so the Mets division lead will remain at 7 on the day. We will see if they can add to that tomorrow. Taijuan Walker trying to close out a sweep here, and then the Mets will have a day off on Thursday before a pivotal series against the Philadelphia Phillies. That's going to be all, though, for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show, at Locked On Mets. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On MLB, hosted by Paul Francis Sullivan. Locked On MLB is where you want to go to stay up to date with everything going on in Major League Baseball. You follow Locked On MLB wherever you get podcasts.